Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you for it. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are off to a good start.
Take your hands and put it down your pants, huh?
We've got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. Another check-in with SEC Media Days. And one person dying in the offseason totally shook up Lane Kiffin and his moral compass. We got to get to that today.
Never saw it coming.
When you lose a hero, it's hard to rebuild. And we will talk about that. He's getting ready to join the SEC Live, SEC Network set. I also got some audio that I thought was outstanding from Pete Golding at Ole Miss and some other check-ins with college football. We'll get that on the radar in the next hour.
We should maybe circle up on a text string about what audio we're sending. Swag says you and I sent the same clips.
Yeah, I think we're on the same cycle. Yeah. You know, it's that time of year. We're looking for it. And Golding's audio yesterday was fantastic. So I'm glad that we had the same thought process. So we'll both play that in this hour, and we'll talk about that coming up in a bit. Don't forget the magic hat at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock, and we'll let you know if we get any word about the county vote at 9:30. Mm-hmm. We will talk about that. But we continue to hear that, hey, you know, there's a lot of cities out there that would love to have the Portland Trailblazers. They're opining to have the Blazers.
Well, we got to worry about our team leaving.
Nashville could be the new location.
I don't believe so.
Who could forget Kalamazoo?
The Kalamazoo Kazoo. Kazoos are a real threat.
Austin, Texas.
I don't believe so. The Spurs play there this year.
There's a lot of options out there, one of them being Kansas City.
This is always, outside of Vegas and Seattle, Kansas City has always been mentioned as the, if you lose a team, that's the city that's going to take your team.
Because one of the hangups of moving teams is usually you're moving over an arena dispute, so that means you need what? A new arena or a renovated arena. Mm-hmm. The hangup is if you go someplace, do they or do they not have an NBA arena? You know who has an NBA arena?
I do.
Kansas City.
Yeah, you know who loves sports?
One. Kansas City.
Yes.
So let's go to Kansas City now and find out, hey, what's the deal? You trying to steal our team? Jay Binkley joining us, Three Guys in a Garage on Twitter. 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. We love having him on at our sister station over there in KC. Jay, good morning to you. What's the beef? Why are you trying to take our NBA team, man?
Good morning, guys. Really, there's not much to it, to be honest with you, because I got the text yesterday from Brandon about it. You know, it's like, what, did I miss something? Did I miss something? So I texted some of the guys at the station. I was like, all right, what have you guys heard anything about this? And they're like, no. And I'm talking, you know, to the guys that are, they've had their, you know, ears to the ground, that know people for the Royals moving to their new stadium, the Chiefs moving to their new stadium, because clearly there's been a lot of that talk here. Mm-hmm. You know, do they have a place? They going somewhere else? Because there was that concern with the Royals, with other cities maybe trying to poach them as well when they said they were going to move. But, yeah, I mean, their ears were to the ground, and they've heard nothing of it. I know that it's been mentioned, and they even said, hey, you know, the name's thrown out there all the time, like it is with NHL teams or anything else. Kansas City is always mentioned, like with other cities, you know. Like obviously with Vegas, they're probably going to get, an expansion NBA team at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be a relocated team, and of course there's locks on going to the Austin market or Nashville from the current NBA teams there, so they wouldn't do it. So obviously, you know, it's one of those names that's thrown out there, and Kansas City's been used as a pawn before. I remember the Pittsburgh Penguins when they were moving about two decades ago. They used Kansas City as that, and Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle, who owned the Penguins, actually came and visited. They said, oh, we love Kansas City and all that, and they said they liked it, and of course, nothing materialized from that. But there's been absolutely zero buzz on trying to steal a team. The city's been pretty busy with the World Cup that was here and everything. So I think that owners like to throw that stuff out there. They like to throw other cities out there like, hey, look who we can get or something like that. Or a guy breaks up with a girl and says, well, I might be going out with this girl, and then all of a sudden makes someone else jealous. But I think that's the case of what's going on. But I'm telling you guys, I mean, what we do in sports, of course, is you follow every single thing that comes around, but there's been absolutely zero buzz to taking a team.
If somebody were to approach people in Kansas City, would the interest be there, or do you think they'd view it as what you said with the Penguins did it? They did that to us, by the way, as well.
Yeah, we were one of those
teased
too.
Portland as, hey, sure, the Penguins could be in Portland. And, you know, like, would you guys, do you think people there would take an interest if, like, Tom Dundon reached out because he hates us and he hates our city officials and he reaches out? Like, is there actual reaching back of like, yeah, let's talk about this? Or do you think they're tired of being pawns and being mentioned when there's no real validity to it?
Yeah, I think they're tired of being pawns. And a city, you know, has been hard at work, you know, with the Chiefs and Royals and stuff like that. Now, I will say this. The Chiefs were, you know, Arrowhead Stadium's in Missouri. It's where the Royals played in Missouri. Now, the Royals decided they're going to build downtown and stay in Missouri. The Chiefs are going across the border into the state of Kansas. So technically, Kansas City, Missouri just has one team now in the Kansas City Royals. So there would probably be some interest because I know they like that downtown area filled up. But the NHL would be high on Kansas City's list, I think. Basketball has been in Kansas City. The Kansas City Kings used to be here. Of course, they moved and became the Sacramento Kings. But they were in Kansas City. I remember going to games back in the day, the old Kansas City Kings. So they have had it. But this area kind of looks at the Big 12 tournament comes here, the College Basketball Hall of Fame's here. A lot of fans here go over to Kansas games or Kansas State games or Missouri games. Pretty good college town as far as that's concerned. But I'm sure there's interest because obviously when teams move, there's always going to be interest. But I think this town has been kind of locked in on what they can do with tax purposes, with the citizens of Kansas City, just trying to work out two different new places for the Chiefs and Royals. I think that's kind of been their priority, to be honest with you.
All right, we're talking with Jay Binkley, maybe not trying to steal our team so we can be back on good terms with him. We had to make sure everything's okay.
It's always going to be thrown out there. Of course, you know, I'm serious because people see Kansas City as a sports town and, you know, they think the draft was here and the World Cup was here. And, yeah, it's definitely more attractive to teams. I mean, when Pittsburgh was looking to come, they have this beautiful new arena downtown in this little bar area that they showed a lot during the World Cup. You know, it's always filled with sports fans. But, you know, since they tried to come here, you know, Kansas City got the 2012 MLB All-Star Game. They've had three championship parades. They've had the NFL draft. They've had the World Cup. They got a brand new airport. There's a lot of things that have changed since Pittsburgh was flirting with Kansas City. So they put themselves more in position. But Kansas City, basically, they just really work on getting events. Like, I know the Chiefs are going to be focused on a Super Bowl and everything else in their new facility or college football playoff games. They've been more concentrating on events, per se. As far as, you know, per capita, can they support three teams? There's always, you know, that consideration. How much extra money do people have to go spend on three franchises? And it's a legitimate concern.
Let me ask you this. So we had a debate earlier in the show, obviously hoping it doesn't happen. We'll get everything figured out on our end.
Embrace our debate.
If the Blazers were to move to Kansas City, we know that the Chiefs are number one fiddle. They will always be number one fiddle, especially in the, I mean, you're building a dome stadium with Mahomes, who's God at quarterback, right? Like, Chiefs are number one. Second fiddle would be New Look Blazers or the Kansas City Royals?
Probably the Kansas City Royals, to be honest with you. I mean, they're pretty ingrained. And even though they obviously having a rough season or whatever, people still go to the games. They still cheer on the Royals. They've got one of the bright stars in Major League Baseball in Bobby Witt Jr. But clearly the Royals at this point. Now you got to win. Like, it'd have to be a team that came away. That's one thing about Pittsburgh when they came, because then they rolled off another Stanley Cup. Like, they won right away. They won right away. You didn't have to deal with that pain and, you know, the agony of losing all the time. But I can assure you guys, there's really legitimately no buzz and people going out there saying, oh, we need to try to lure the Trailblazers, because Kansas City's been used as a pawn plenty of times, and they get it. They understand it.
Yeah. You know, one of my hottest takes that people hate, and I don't blame them for it, but I can't help but feel the way I feel, is that, Jay, I think every NFL team should dome up their stadium. I don't want my $55 million quarterback throwing in minus 4 degree temperature. I want him winning a Super Bowl in a controlled climate of 68.5. The Chiefs released renderings yesterday. That is a notable cold weather city that, you know, famously was like minus 26 with the wind chill. And
when did you guys get so soft, man?
People,
I thought you wanted
fingers
to lose limbs and fingers, man.
So you guys are doming it up. Asses. Like, how did the reaction to maybe having a dome over the next Chiefs stadium, how did that resonate with people?
Well, to be honest with you, people really like being outside. I mean, they really did. Despite that, what, minus 26, minus 30, well, it was close to that, that Dolphins playoff game a few years ago. People had frostbite, literally. Like, people had to have extremities extracted from that game because yes, it was so cold. So there is that allure, and they've been making, you know, to the postseason, there's that. It's going to be a translucent top, though, so it's going to be clear, so they can still do the flyovers. I know that's been very important to them as well, but yeah, Dome Stadium seems to be the direction people are going. But the thing is, and I think with the Chiefs, it's just all different now. Like, it's about the area around the stadium and shops and bars and restaurants, because they didn't really have that. Yeah. Where the Chiefs and Royals play now, there's a Taco Bell, guys, and a burnt down Denny's. That's it.
Dude, Taco Bell's elite, though. I mean, are, you know, Taco
is
Bell's
Denny's
solid.
Still around?
Denny's,
I mean, like,
is still there.
I feel like I see a Denny's.
I don't think so. No, it's gone. Yeah. It's burnt down. But, yeah, but the Taco Bell is probably the best in the country, to be honest with you. I've never asked them, but I've wanted to. The Royals have 1 million-plus fans a year going. You have all those fans for the Chiefs. You guys got to be just killing it, man. Taco Bell's just got to be killing it at this point. But they went to bars and restaurants and stuff like that. And I know they looked at the Dallas Cowboys facility a lot with Frisco and the Star. And they're going to put their headquarters in another suburb of Kansas City on the Kansas side. And that'll be their corporate headquarters. That'll be a multi-use football stadium. They'll probably have training camp there. They can lure state title games. Let the school district there play like they do in Dallas, let them play high school football games there, and do things like that. I know that. Then a lot of shops and restaurants and hotels around the stadium. But getting a Super Bowl is very important to them. And I know that, you know, being in this climate in this city, they're not getting one unless there's a roof over the stadium like you have seen in other cold weather cities where it has gone the Super Bowl there. Mm-hmm. And I know they have a lot of interest in the college football national title game. And, of course, you're not getting the Final Four. They have a beautiful arena downtown, you know, that seats a little over 20,000, but you're not getting the Final Four because they're only playing in football stadiums. So they would do that. So this would be a place for concerts. Chiefs have really gotten into the concert area where they have a lot of concerts coming to Kansas City, and they sing at Arrowhead. Arrowhead Productions puts it on. So it's concerts at Arrowhead Stadium. I know they want to do that out there as well. But that gives them the ability, I think, to plan events, not worry about the ever-changing weather at times. It's kind of a new wave of the way people are doing things. But they can use that facility for much, much more. It's much different than it used to be. You play football there, and right, that's what you do. But now it's about concerts. It's about, can you attract big events? You know, what else can you get? And then the area around it is very important. The bars, restaurants, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I know team owners love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear KC fans haven't gone soft. It's just the owner that's going soft, and he wants a bigger paycheck. And I understand the argument. It helps from the event standpoint. There's no doubt about it. I'll never forget going to a Royals game years ago and driving out to that area around Arrowhead and whatever the Royals ballpark is, and Coffin Stadium, and being like, yeah, there's nothing out there. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's just surrounded by parking lots.
You know what's weird, too, is it's next to a major interstate,
yes,
I-70, that basically, you know, goes all the way to the East Coast. It's by that and another major interstate. It's weird that nothing developed there.
Right.
I mean, it's very strange how nothing happened out there with that. But it's all about the multi-use. And these facilities, as beautiful as they are, which they are, because I love Kauffman Stadium, Arrowhead, and things like that, they are one of the oldest. I mean, you look at the National Football League, the only older stadiums are Lambeau, Soldier Field in Chicago, which they're about to get a new stadium.
Right.
And then Buffalo was right behind Kansas City, a year behind them, but they've already got a new stadium up opening up this year. So in the NFL, there's just not many older stadiums in Arrowhead Stadium. And in baseball, you have Anaheim, where the Angels play, Dodger Stadium, Fenway, and Wrigley. That's it. Like, that's the list of older stadiums than Kauffman Stadium. So as beautiful as those things were, built in the early 70s, and it was a great multi-use because teams were using football stadiums for baseball and vice versa. They were doing that in Pittsburgh. They did that out in Oakland. But Kansas City said, hey, let's do two stadiums out here. But nowadays, it's changed, guys. It's all about the how many hotels can we have around it? How many bars can we have around it? Right. I mean, seriously, that's where we're at.
Yeah. We played a clip of a while back of an old guy in Lawrence, Kansas, and he was asked about hosting Algeria. And he famously like went pretty viral. He's like, I love it. I've learned so much about them. They're awesome. We're so glad they're here. Tell us, as a city that didn't really host it, you guys did, and man, it looks so kick-ass on a game day. What was it like to host the World Cup?
You know, it was exciting. I know they put a lot of work into it for the last couple of years to get a World Cup. And, of course, these NFL stadiums, a lot of them had to be retrofitted. They had to take seats out, you know, at Arrowhead Stadium. It's kind of what FIFA wanted. Of course, they changed the name of the stadium for a couple of weeks, but they loved it. And, you know, they were filling it up. And Kansas City area got four base camps out of the deal, more than any other city. I mean, England was here for a month and a half. Argentina was here for a month and a half. I mean, they'd go to different barbecue restaurants, Englewood, stuff like that, but you always hear about it. Hey, England. And there'd be pictures of it and stuff like, hey, England's here. Like Jude Bellingham and Harry Kane were walking around to a local ice cream place, you know, and getting ice cream and, you know, not really being bothered a ton. Yeah. The Netherlands. The Netherlands was right here as well with the soccer facilities. And with the MLS team we have here with the Kansas City Current, which is the only women's-specific stadium built for soccer. Believe it or not, I know Kansas City's kind of looked upon, you know, as a mecca for football and things like that, but they love soccer. And when Fox always does the telecast to Team USA, they always show Kansas City. Like, even though the team's not playing there, they'll show the Bar District there in Kansas City at the Power and Light District. That's always one of their, like, four boxes showing Kansas City. And Kansas City was number one in ratings for each game Team USA played. They did not play here at Arrowhead Stadium, but they were still number one. Then the ratings were released by Fox yesterday. Kansas City was the number one market with the 489 share.
Wow.
The gap between Kansas City and the number two city in the ratings was as big as the number two through the 15th. I'll give you an example.
Wow.
The top local markets for FIFA's World Cup, and this is from Fox, number one, Kansas City with a 489. Number two, Boston with a 391. Now, keep in mind, number 15 was L.A. with a 312.
Wow.
So the gap between Kansas City and Boston was as great as number 2 through 15. I mean, yeah, it helped having it here. There was over 800,000 people, you know, that came to the Fan Fest and things like that. It helped having Messi here.
Mm.
You know, Messi had his hat trick here at Arrowhead Stadium, spawned a bunch of sports conversation of what's the best performance ever at Arrowhead Stadium? Where does the Messi hat trick rank among best things that happened at Arrowhead? So having Argentina here for two games, of course, like I said, they stayed here for a month and a half as well. So that definitely gained interest. But England, even though their base camp was here, they didn't play here. But there were some good matches that took place at Arrowhead Stadium. But it was fun. The town embraced the teams. They made them feel welcome, gave them great practice facilities to practice at. We couldn't guarantee them great weather because each of the four teams, the night they arrived, we had tornado warnings. I'm not kidding you. The night that England came, we had tornado sirens going off and everything. It's like, welcome to the Midwest, baby.
Also, no disrespect to Messi, fantastic, who is the GOAT soccer player. Patrick Mahomes won a game with 13 seconds left on his own 20. Get out of here with the Messi thing. What are we doing?
You got to put that there. And they're friends, too, because they're both Adidas guys or whatever. Oh, so every game, it was funny because I was watching one of the broadcasts. It was a Saturday night game. It was in the quarterfinals. We had a quarterfinal matchup. It was Argentina and Switzerland, and they kept showing all these dignitaries, but the broadcasters really weren't saying their names because they weren't sure who these people up here in the suit or whatever. But the minute they showed Mahomes, it was like Ian Dark and Landon Donovan, the broadcast. Oh, there's Patrick Mahomes. They have all these dignitaries, and they showed our dignitaries. So It was fun. I mean, I know England went out to the Royals game throughout the first pitch. They might have been confused by the word Royals, but they still went anyway, and we had fun with that.
That's great stuff. Jay Binkley, our good buddy, 96.5 The Fan, in Kansas City, at Three Guys in a Garage on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Thank you for not trying to steal our NBA team. We can continue to be friends. Your barbecue was great, and let's do this again soon.
Oh, you guys are safe. Trust me. We'll have some fun through football season. Let's give it our, oh, and by the way, we can't wait for Ken Walker. I don't know how many Seahawks fans are up there, but
oh, they're there.
I'm sure there's quite a few. But, man, to have Ken Walker is very popular. Well, he goes by Ken now, guys. It was Ken of the Walker, right? Ken Walker here. So you guys probably know that, too. So very excited for Chiefs camp starting this Friday.
Enjoy, Ken. Thanks for the time, Jay. We appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
There you go. Jay Binkley from Kansas City saying no.
Does that make you feel better? Like, do we scratch Kansas City off now?
I think so. I think they're scratched off the list. I also, the interesting part about them, and then we'll go a couple lingering thoughts, and we'll get to some college football stuff. They built an arena to try and lure a hockey team or an NBA team to
that
Kansas City.
That was a long time ago, by the way.
It's already 20 years old.
I know.
So this has been kind of in the news forever. Well, they got an arena. That arena's was, I want to say, 2006 or 2007, somewhere in that range is when it was built. So,
who's their biggest team in their city?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Where's their new stadium being built?
In Kansas.
They've left the state.
We're not in Kansas anymore. Not in Kansas anymore. How about this for an answer on tampering? And we'll dive into some college football stuff next on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thanks again to Jay Binkley from Kansas City. That was a fun one. He's always enjoyable to talk to. Big beer drinker, always in a good mood. And why wouldn't you be? You're in Kansas City. A couple of funny texts. I'm gonna kick the college football audio to the next segment.
Yeah, that seems fair. I think we could talk about how he basically just told you they don't want our team.
No, they have no interest in it. And I just sent for on-air producing swag another clip for our college football. We got a Lane Kiffin cut out there that I'd like to throw into the mix because Lane Kiffin was at the podium today. So we'll get to all that and some great Pete Golding stuff from yesterday. But a couple thoughts was, I enjoyed this. Somebody said, wait, what? So other cities realize that revenue-producing events happen at their venues?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Other things than the team playing there, and that you can host other things, and that things can become more regular, and you could attract people to want to come to your city?
Yes.
What a novel concept.
Isn't
also, Deal adding, where did this go, on the idea, because he mentioned Kansas City being used as a pawn for the Penguins, which we were also used as a pawn for Penguins.
Were.
And he said, wow, that's funny. Kansas City's gotten a lot better, and Portland's got a lot worse since then. Because he mentioned them having, we built an arena, and now we're getting a new ballpark, and we're getting a new NFL stadium, and we're hosting the World Cup.
Yeah,
and
Missouri's not.
That's true. But yeah,
the Royals won, but they're losing the Chiefs.
I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed a couple of thoughts. I did want to ask a question, though, just on all that. The Kansas City thing, it's hilarious to go to that market and be like, we haven't even talked. It's not even on our, not even close to our radar.
I have said this for a while, and I'm going to stay in the stance. I don't even care if they're threatening to blow up the entire funding thing. Like, it's threats.
Yes.
I cannot find a market. I text people in Nashville and Austin. Nothing. What Jay Binkley just said about Kansas City taking the Blazers is that.
Right.
Times the other two.
Right.
So, like, if Kansas City, Nashville, and Austin are off, where are you going? You're not going to Seattle. You're not going to Vegas. You want to throw San Diego in there? I'll reach out to them today. I bet you I know what they're going to say. We have one pro sports team.
Does San Diego have an arena?
I don't know.
I don't think
they had the Clippers years ago. I don't think they're in.
That was a long day, yeah.
So, like, where are you going?
Right.
That's the thing is, like, he has the leverage. We know this. The city owns the building. Sure, let's renovate. It's not, I just will not buy that it's happening. The other owners will not vote for it, I believe. They're not going to bypass hundreds of millions of dollars in extra payouts for these expansion teams and let him just go to Seattle for nothing. Oh, by the way, he's cutting people that probably from a taxable income standpoint are making $35,000 a year. If he's cutting $35,000 a year, why am I going to believe that he's just going to go spend $1 billion to move a franchise? So, like, I understand the fear-mongering that a lot of media members have to do to just rage everybody, but I've just never bought it. And I think if you go down the list of relocation cities, I think when the city passes the thing today at 9:30, the city or the county, yeah, and then the city passes their funding thing. Yeah, knock on wood if you're with me.
Right.
And they say, here's the money. I think this thing is ultimately going to get hammered through. And I think Adam Silver's going to say, dude, shut up. Take the deal. We're not leaving Portland. It's a great market. The fan base is great.
So I want to ask a question on all this because I've seen – there's obviously been so many takes on Dundon that have come out. We got into this a little bit yesterday with the – is he the, you know, the number one on your big board of most hated Blazers of all time in his four-month run as owner? Has he already risen above Ray Felton and Bob Whitsitt? Like, has he done enough in 4 months
Trader
to do
Bob
that?
At least got us to
he did. I, yeah,
success.
I'm not going to – I'll
like
put him
the
higher.
Moves, yeah. But
Ruben Patterson, you know, got to run that.
I can't put anybody above Ruben Patterson.
I want to ask a question, and I'm genuinely curious because I've seen this. So one of RP1s actually sent a tweet to Sean Hykin, and there was a tweet, and I was just curious to ask listeners and fans if they feel this way.
Okay.
And basically, he sent a tweet to Hykin saying, Sean, you know fans will not care about any of this if it means they win a championship.
Any of the...
The cost-cutting moves, the firing, the broadcasting, oh. The T-shirts, the hotel checkouts, the yada, 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 Tommy Two Nickels. Mm-hmm. And Hykin responded and said it's been Dundon's contention since he bought the Hurricanes. He's been proven right.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got it all figured out. The secret is winning and actually cutting costs and alienating people unnecessarily. Guess we'll find out if the Blazers win a title soon. And I would say you don't need to win a championship. We haven't sniffed a title in 30 years, okay? I'm not going to come in and say you're a failure for not sniffing a title in 2 years.
If you're just hovering in really good, consistent...
Contention? You're in the conversation?
Contention-type stuff?
Then it's... Right.
Contention in the West, by the way. Like, it doesn't have to be title contention.
No, like, you're in the mix.
You're in the mix.
You're mentioned. You're in the conversation.
If you're what Minnesota's been.
Yes. I'll take it, right? So yeah. I want to ask a question. I'm going to put this poll question up at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. You can go vote on it.
Okay.
Has his cost-cutting measures, just the way he's operated as a fan, alienated you in any way, shape, or form? Meaning, not this is bogus and you want to yell about it on social media. That's fine. You want to write it. Like, I get all of that. We bemoan a lot of it. We're not fans of a lot of it. Will it directly impact the way you consume and view the Portland Trailblazers? Yes or no?
At the start of the season, no. If they suck, absolutely.
Mm.
If they're the same level,
what's the equation
better,
of suck? Let's say they're the same team next year that they were this year.
Well, if they're worse than last year, which is entirely possible by roster construction, which I just let my opinion be on the record. I've said it before. I'll say it one more time. It's being floated and said without being said directly that this Ja Morant pivot, and by the way, Ja Morant at WNBA game.
Yeah, it was cool to see him at the Fire game last night.
There's going to be a real uncomfortable feeling for me when Ja goes to the Oregon Coast before Dame Lillard. I'm like, maybe he's more of an Oregonian now.
I always love when they make him do like the hostage social media videos too. Like, Ja,
hallway.
You need to do this. It's like, hey, Ja here at the Fire game.
But, like, there's this narrative that Dundon made them pivot. And I'm like, so just nothing is the general manager's fault anymore.
Mm.
If we make a bad draft pick, well, I mean, what did you want him to do?
Right.
If we make a questionable trade, you got to look at it from this. It's the next deadline. If he pivots from being tall and lengthy to short and guard heavy, it's Tom Dundon. So, like, the general manager here basically cannot be held responsible for anything bad, and I feel like he gets propped up for the Denny trade. So, it's like, I don't know how to square those things. I don't know how anybody in this market does, and I don't buy it. I think Tom Dundon wanted to get a big name, and I think Joe looked around and said, no AD, no Giannis. We're out on Jaylen Brown's contract. Ja Morant.
Where do we go?
Low swing move that doesn't cost us much,
costs
and
nothing.
It's a big name. Hey, there you go. Like, I don't think Tom Dundon gave the order to go trade for Ja Morant. I just will not buy it. But if they are, from a record standpoint, worse, aesthetically worse, yeah, this is where it will hit you. I don't mean any disrespect. There's a lot of elements that they have cut that I don't think people will ultimately, it will dictate how they follow and view the team.
Right.
That's just fundamentally how I feel about it. I don't like it. I wish a lot of this stuff would have never happened. I don't believe that this cost cutting is actually saving you really that much.
No.
You want to shake up your business department because you're dead last in the league? I totally understand that. But, like, I don't know who they hired to replace Calabro. You're still going to watch.
Right. I mean, we watched when Jordan Kent was doing play-by-play when Calabro stepped away for a year.
Yeah, and you know, Jordan I didn't think was as good as Calabro. And
no, that's
whatever,
also a hard mountain to climb. Calabro's exactly. One of the best to ever do it. Doesn't mean he sucks. He just wasn't Calabro.
To your question, no.
Yeah, I just
think it's a bad. It's what we don't like is the look in the narrative.
It's horrible PR. Nobody will disagree with
everybody
that.
Everybody nationally is
chiming in on it. Yeah.
Chiming in, and some people are sourcing stuff. And who do you think they're sourcing to? And what are they being told? Like,
I saw Golf Writers tweeting about the Blazers yesterday when the Calabro news came out. And I'm like, how is this infiltrating the no laying up world?
Because
what is happening?
It's a massive name. Yeah. It's a name that a lot of people around the league have known and known for quite some time. The only thing I would have said yesterday, and I didn't want to put this out, is just like, I could have told you for $1,000 at the end of the year, is Kevin Calabro back or not? I'd lean no.
I would have bet my life savings that he wouldn't call games.
So, like, I didn't see that and go, oh, I loved the shot at Dundon at the end. It's a great walk-off line, but
built his legacy on subprime auto loans, and let's do a subprime contract offer.
And I disagree. I've texted with Hyken about this, a little bit here and there of, like, I don't like it all.
No.
I totally understand where people that cover the league, that are around the league, are coming from. But that person, I think, is largely correct.
Right, if they win, all of this is forgotten. If the Portland Trailblazers next year are a top four, the jaw thing hits, you're the four seed in the West and you win a playoff series
or two. I think if they're a top six seed, to be honest
with
you, they're slightly better.
There will not be an utter of any of this come April and May when the playoffs are rolling around and you're hosting playoff games. I don't think we'll be bemoaning the t-shirt thing anymore because you'll be relevant. And that's just
that. Well, you also didn't use your towels when you got them.
We did not use our towels either. I was just curious, like, it's obviously early. There's only like 15 votes on this thing. I just put it up 2 minutes ago.
So people are there people
there
saying
are no they, votes or excuse me are yes votes of yeah it has alienated me as a fan,
but like it's easy to say you're alienated in July
and then they start 7-1 the first eight games, you're boycotting and you're not watching game nine. Like, that's my, like, are you literally gonna watch and consume less Blazer basketball because of this? Because that, when you're using a word like alienating your fan base, that to me is what it represents. You're pushing them away from consuming your product.
Weren't selling out your arena last year, so the previous regime was also, in a way,
I mean,
alienating
with
mediocrity.
We raised ticket prices after tanking seasons, man. Like, I don't forget that.
Well, Tom Dundon's about to do that.
Yeah, you bet your ass he's going to. He's poor. He needs the money. I was just curious. You can go vote at Turn Spring on Twitter. Has his behavior as owner 4 months and alienated you as a fan, meaning you will watch and consume less Blazer basketball? We'll update that one coming up at the end of the show. Got the Magic Hat at 9. Let's get into some SEC Media Day audio because it's fantastic, and we'll dive into it next on The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
All right, welcome back in. Did you know we're all going to die someday?
I did.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
And the really funny poll question from the Levitard show today, is Lane Kiffin right? Are we all going to die someday?
We could do a poll question, most likely to die first on the show.
Ooh.
I'm somebody that if I die early... Yeah. I hope you guys joke about it eventually.
Yeah, it'd take a while, but we get there eventually.
Depends on the circumstances.
You can't outlive me, Sprager.
Very true.
All those miles you ran? How'd that do?
Should have eaten some large pizzas, man, if you're going to go so soon.
Exactly.
What was the point of the medium pizza?
Oh, man.
You're not eating pork right now.
Are we?
Think about all the pork you could have porked.
Are we sure that when you do the death penalty and you get your last meal you request, like if I specifically order an apple fritter from so-and-so and a KFC leg.
Do they specifically bring
like,
that?
Are we sure they're actually coming from the places? Or is it, you want fried chicken from Popeyes? Here's what we have.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've always wondered that.
That's a good question.
Is this from the commissary? Like, what are we doing?
Right, just from the cafeteria?
Is that the vending machine?
That's not a KFC sandwich. This is bogus. Well, what are you going to do? You're on death row, man. You don't have any rights anymore.
Yeah.
SEC Media Days roll on. We'll get to the Magic Hat coming up at the top of the hour. We are all going to die someday, folks. We are all going to die. And thanks to...
Well, didn't Scotty Scheffler tell us that at the Open?
He did. He absolutely did.
Yeah.
He alerted us that it is going to happen. Here is Lane Kiffin on everything going on in his life and somebody passing away being the wake-up call of we're all going to die.
Because I look back over my life and my journey that a lot of great things have come when I've subtracted things out of my life, when I've eliminated them. And that wasn't the plan to do, but then I did it. Now it's been a couple months. It's been really refreshing. And I've talked to a lot of family, friends, even players and encourage them to take a break. Because what happens is when you're on it, this is what I found, it you don't really realize until you're off of it. How many people, I mean, I had to work out this morning at 5 o'clock at Camp Tampa, and I just watched, like, afterwards how many people just can't get out fast enough to get on their phone and scroll away. That it's really taken over what we used to say we were worried about our kids doing. The adults are just as bad. And so it's been really freeing, because what you do at the end of the day is you don't compare anything. Kevin Elk, who used to speak to our team, you always say, comparison's the thief of joy. And I realized, okay, think about it. You're scrolling all day long. You see things, people that do that, okay. You start to compare your job, your city, your vacation, your car, your clothes, your significant other, all those things that happen throughout the day. And then when you're completely off of it, you're much more present in the moment you're in, because you're not seeing all the stuff all day and seeing everybody paint how perfect their life is. So it's been pretty refreshing. And it's been an interesting experience for me to see, because I think whenever I removed something, whether that was bad habits, whether that was food, whether that was alcohol, whether that was toxic relationships, now social media, anything that I've removed throughout life, once you remove it, you start to notice how many people are dependent on it that you didn't really realize before. So,
well, evidently I sent the wrong clip, although that was funny because he is off of social media. How long are we giving him? I don't know. But this morning, Lane Kiffin also added, when I grew up, there were two people that I thought wouldn't just die, my dad and Hulk Hogan. He talked about watching the Hulk Hogan documentary and how it reminded him of his mortality and how we should just go for it, man. That's why I'm going for LSU.
I need full context. Do you think his dad was going to live forever?
He thought his dad was going to live forever, and Hulk Hogan was going to live forever.
Yeah.
Because he is a real American.
Lane is a weird one in this. Like, that one answer right there.
He's off of social media. How long do we give him of being off social media? Will it last?
No.
Do we get tweets from him
in week nine?
I can
see him.
He needs
one.
To close a 5-star recruit.
Yep.
Sending out a tweet.
Or it's assured that he's made the playoff.
I mean, it is a great piece of advice. We should delete social media apps. Everybody is addicted to them.
But he's also right, and we'll get to this in the Magic Hat. We used to get yelled at as children for playing video games. It's going to corrupt your mind.
Right.
We're going to ban video games because it makes kids violent in America. Right. Old people are literally the worst people with technology.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's not remotely close.
Pretty bad.
The addiction is so real. Every time I'm around a parent, and I'll just look over and they're just in their scroll zone. They're just doom scrolling and just like, hey.
I notice that a lot with parents, like when you go to the park and you walk around, and I don't judge anybody because I don't know what your life is
like.
But
I'm talking about our parents.
Even older parents, yeah, and your kids are out like playing in the park and you're just sitting like, just
like both my mom and my dad, like my mom's come over to my house and we'll be sitting there, we're watching something, but we're kind of just all hanging out. And I'll look over and her glasses are down on her nose and she's just like,
just perusing.
You should know pandas are learning Chinese?
Have you seen Jimothy?
Did you know a woman had sex with a dolphin? What?
What? How does that happen?
I was at my dad's this weekend. It's a house full of grandkids, and he's just on the couch.
Yeah, scrolling.
Jesus is coming back tomorrow. What?
Hell yeah, dude.
Spaghetti's done.
Sign me up, dog.
Like, it's our parents' ages of people that are just like, they're actually the worst.
Oh, Lane Kiffin, never change. He is today. We'll have maybe some more on that tomorrow. A couple from Pete Golding yesterday. His former defensive coordinator, now head coach at Ole Miss. I don't know where he ranks for people. I think his performance yesterday should put him on the Mount Rushmore of most interesting and entertaining coaches. And allow me example A and example B. Here is Pete Golding asked about the man we just played, Lane Kiffin. How's your ex doing, Pete?
I think that's up to y'all.
Okay.
No, I mean, there's always going to be history. It's the ex, right? I mean, there's always going to be the history. Like, do you have an ex? Are you married?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, if you do get married, right, and you have an ex that your wife knows about, like, she doesn't ever end. She's never dead, right? Like, she's always going to get brought up. And so that's kind of it's where it is right now, right? That's always going to be there a little bit, which is fun to a certain degree. But, you know, the thing about this league, as y'all know, like, your focus better be on LSU. It better be on LSU week 3. Right. And if your focus isn't on a Kentucky at home and you lose the game and go to the playoffs, your focus isn't on a Florida on the road. Right. When you're number 5 in the country and you lose another playoff, like, you got to put your focus week in and week out in this league, which is what I love about this league. And then for us, the way our schedule set up, we got Louisville, who's a top 25 team and a neutral site to open this thing up. If we're worried about anybody outside of Louisville, you better hold on. And so I think that's what I love about this league. It allows us as coaches and players, I know there's a lot of noise out there, to put our focus back on what's mattering, and it's the next opponent. But LSU will get our undivided attention in week three, and they'll deserve every bit of it.
I love that answer. It is so solid. He's spot on. Somebody asked him, like, after the basis of the question was, after you get through the game against LSU, do you think the Lane Kiffin stuff will die down? Mm-hmm. He's like, no, it's not going to die down. And I love his start. Well, that's kind of up to you guys. You guys shape the narrative. You are in the media. So if you guys want to keep talking about it or asking about it, then it's not going to go away. But his point on the ex and the wife is absolutely hilarious. And I thought I'm going to push his tampering one to the Magic hat. We could just kick that because it's a little bit of a longer cut. Yeah. But I thought it was one of the best answers we've heard on the
I did too.
Very controversial topic of tampering that everybody loves throwing the accusations out there. But I will say, I don't really know. They got Chambliss back. That's obviously a huge thing. Their wide receiver is one of the best in the country. Is Ole Miss another playoff team again this year? Are they a semifinal team? I don't know. But
we don't
know
enough about him
yet.
He
is so entertaining, yeah. And I'm rooting for him to succeed because people who are willing to kind of let the filter down and not just talk through coach speak and give you some honest human nature. Like he was great yesterday.
He doesn't have the background pedigree that Cignetti had at a lower level. He has a little Cignetti in him, a longtime assistant. He's a Saban guy, and he finally had a random opportunity thrown at him. He ran with it. They had success. Here's his real shot. I have no idea if he's a good coach.
No idea.
I can't take the playoff run and say, well, now I know.
Right.
He's got one of the best quarterbacks in college football, at least preseason, coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're coming off a semifinal run, and it wasn't like you got blown out in that game. It was a close game.
They had like a Hail Mary shot, if I remember, from like the 50-yard line with a chance to win it. I mean, a miracle.
So,
but
again, you're coming in with expectation. Also, Lane, for many people up until that point, good, but never great. And then the minute he gets great, he bounces before even doing the playoff. To carry that into the playoff could not have been easy. So I don't know what to make of Pete Golding either, but yeah. I did enjoy his media stuff yesterday.
It is interesting to point out that I think you can argue Pete Golding has a bigger win at Ole Miss than Lane Kiffin ever did. Beating Georgia in the playoff game.
Yeah, it's hard
in
to
New Orleans.
That.
Like,
yeah.
You can't.
Yep.
Now, it's different because he didn't build the roster. Like, he wasn't the head coach, the guy in charge the entire time.
He helped build that roster,
but
though.
He helped. And it's like that. I mean, Kiffin had some nice wins. But point me to anything that's bigger than beating Georgia at a quarterfinal game in the playoff, right?
Nothing.
So that's the funny thing about their two tenures. And a great point on the fan text line. I give Lane less than a month before he's back on X. There's no better trolling platform. You're telling me they beat Ole Miss in Oxford, and he's not jumping on Twitter to say something after the game? I don't buy it. We will start the final hour with the Magic Hat, where there'll be one more Pete Golding piece of audio there because it was fantastic. And we'll get you set for your day in sports. We got the county vote coming up at 9:30, so we'll let you know if we hear anything on that front. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.